And we've been in the verses before, but last week particularly, we looked at verses 17 to 25. And we were reminded that throughout the chapters even leading up to this, Paul's been kind of drawing this interesting connection, and we've been sitting in it and trying to kind of understand what it means so that we can live into it and embrace it as followers of Jesus. But we find out from Paul that followers of Jesus, they find an important piece of their vocation or their calling where suffering and glory meet. Friends, each of us, we know suffering, right? There's not anyone in this room whose suffering hasn't touched their lives in probably more than one way, and some of you in this room today who probably are even feeling the realities of that in an acute way. We know suffering, but as the followers of Jesus, we know too the glory of God. We know and are sure, we live with confidence that even in our suffering, glory, Paul calls it, is coming. And we know this, Paul tells us, in part because we have what he refers to as the first fruits of the Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is alive and at work in us. And so we know suffering, but we have tasted victory. We have tasted glory. We have tasted freedom and restoration, healing, life in Christ. And so for the children of God, knowing both of these things at the same time, we find ourselves as followers of Jesus living in a bit of a tension, don't we? We live in a tension of glory and suffering, the now and the not yet, as it is often referred to. But the now and the not yet, this tension that if not for the gift of God and the work of the Holy Spirit would probably crush us some days. We live in it with life and life to the full because of what Paul calls hope. That though we live in suffering and we've tasted of glory, we also live and this tension is radically shaped by hope. And so the last two verses of our passage from last week, Romans 8, verses 24 to 25, says this. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. That the people of God, even in their waiting, even in their longing, and we touched last week this idea of groaning, even in that space, know the completely unexplainable, this thing of patience. That we have peace. That we live with confidence and with expectation, even in the hardest and the darkest of situations. And in that space, not only is it a gift for us as the people of God, those who follow Jesus, but we as followers of Jesus actually carry then an incredible gift, an incredibly profound, albeit painful vocation, and that is what I called last week the ministry of lament. What Paul refers to here in Romans 8 as groaning. And more specifically, not any groaning, but the groanings of childbirth. He uses this metaphor. And if you think about the groanings of childbirth like we did last week, and you sit in it, it begins to shape what this vocation looks like. Because we don't ignore suffering. We don't pretend that it's not a part of this world or a part of our lives. In fact, in it, we lift songs of lament, and they come up like groanings. That they are very real. And that even to hear them connects, it resonates with the hearts of others who are longing for the words to sing, who are longing for this radical honesty. But they're not groanings of desperation. They're not groanings of misery. They're not groanings that have no hope. They are like the groanings of childbirth, and so marked in a very real way by hope. That there is purpose, expectation, confident hope in our groaning. And so the groaning lament sounds a very specific way. This week we learned we lost an incredible saint. Brian Dirksen was a man who wrote many worship songs and led many thousands of people in worship over the course of his life. Brian passed away this week. And it was last week when we knew already that he was quite sick that Lori, who knew Brian well, came to me and we had talked about lament. And she says, Chad, isn't it amazing to sort of sit in and to consider the gift of lament and to also be thinking about Brian, who along many other things that he wrote, many other things that he sang, I think if you were to go and you were to pull Brian Dirksen up on Apple Music this week and to listen through his stuff, you would find over and over again in throughout his catalog songs of lament. Brian knew how to live this tension, and he actually wrote and led worship out of this tension. It wasn't something that he felt like he needed to resolve before he could step into those places. He came as he was, and so because he did that, was an incredible gift, not only to the church, but I think to the world, as he sounded and gave us music and gave us songs to practically, tangibly live into what we've been talking about. Songs of lament, we talked about last week, have a right place in the kingdom. They have a right place in the church because the place of lament is suffering. And like we've already recognized today, all of us know suffering. But the promise of lament, and you'll hear it in the Psalms of Lament, and you'll hear it in Brian's music, and I pray that you would hear it in your own as the Spirit inspires you in places of suffering, that it has a right place, but the promise is always there, the promise of lament being glory. And finally, the posture of lament, or the way that we stand in and sing these songs, is hope. And so that brings us to our text today, Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at verses 26 to 30. Let me read this for us. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Take a minute, look those verses over again, and then I'm going to say that one more time. This is the word of the Lord. You're just about getting that. This is incredible. One of my prayers for us as a church, and as we walk out together, and every time we come to the Word of God, and every time we come into worship, is that even in this season, we have a sense, Parish Council was talking about this the other day, and we're praying, we have a sense that God is wanting to connect us in a very lively way with the reality of the gospel. So when we hear something like Romans 26, 8, 26 to 30, and the fumbling preacher says, this is the word of the Lord, there should really, truly, authentically be something in the people of God that like explodes in thanks be to God. Those whom he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he has also glorified. This is incredible news, friends. And it's true of you as sons and daughters. This is the word of the Lord. There we go, Daryl. Thank you. Friends, the good news of these verses, as we think about what we talked about last week, in some ways, this is the second part of my teach from last week, and that's why I spent some time catching us up. We are called to a vocation, called to a ministry of lament. When we lift up the groanings of creation, and when we voice them, we actually minister to God. We minister to the world around us. But praise God, as we go to do this, we are not alone. Our pastor starts today with the word likewise. And Paul's trying to say here as we head into these verses that just as the gift of hope sustains us, so too the Holy Spirit is actively with us. Praise God. I love the verses that Alexa read for us from the Gospel of John, where we are promised by Jesus that if he goes, he would send a helper, the Holy Spirit. And those verses, John 14, verses 15 to 7, 17, tell us not only is he going to send the Holy Spirit to help us, not only will the Holy Spirit be with us, but the Holy Spirit would dwell in us. Just got to spend the week at a healing prayer retreat, and over again, Sarah, who led us in this retreat, would say over and over again a phrase that she picked up from a mentor of hers. She would say, "There, don't ever forget, friends, another lives in you." And it just brought us to this quiet, deep, life-altering remembrance that as sons and daughters of God, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Every day when you wake, every night when you go to sleep, every time you go to work, every time you meet a new neighbor, every time your life touches the sufferings of this world, even the sufferings of your own life, friends, never forget that the Spirit dwells in you. Paul speaks of this here in Romans 8 in some major ways. But in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, he really touches on it using the analogy of the temple. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, Paul says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." The "you" there in this passage doesn't get caught as easily. Just met a new friend this morning who's moved to Texas. She'll catch on pretty quick. But in Texas, they actually have a plural for "you," right? What is it?
Y'all.
Y'all, right? And it's actually, I kind of wish we had it, because this would say, actually, "Do you not know that y'all are God's temple?" Here it's in the plural, that we as the people of God, the body of Christ, the church, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. And part of the way that works is if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul then speaks to us as sons and daughters, reminding us that, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit?" That everywhere you go as a son, everywhere that you go as a daughter, as a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And not just in some metaphorical way. Not just in some sort of like, "Oh, isn't that a nice analogy, a nice thought?" The creator of the world is in you. When we talk about union with Christ, it's the same language, the same kind of union we would see when two become one. When Jesus prays that they might be one, as you and I, Father, are one. That we have the Spirit dwelling in us, that we commune with the giver of life. Praise God. And it's essential for us to recognize that and to remember that all the time, but particularly if you find yourself in dark and broken places. Because the ministry of lament, as I've referred to it last week and this week, is essentially the offering of prayers in the midst of suffering. Or more specifically, what Paul refers to here in Romans 8 a number of times as the work or the gift with a ministry of intercession. We're told that the Spirit groans with us, that when we go to do this work, to intercede, which is a priestly ministry, a kingdom work, a work rightly given to a kingdom of priests, that we as the people of God and sons and daughters walk this out, that we participate in intercession, something that the Bible teaches us Jesus is ever doing. And something here that we see in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit leads us in, that we participate with him in it. Really, intercession is just the action of making petition on behalf of another. It means praying for someone else or on behalf of them, lifting their need, lifting their suffering to God. I think the most helpful illustration I've ever had for this is to think of intercession as standing in the gap. And so if I stand here with great need, you can join me even now in praying for Alexandra, who's going to be baptized next week. Her mom texted us this morning, nothing to be super worried about, but they took her to Emerge this morning because she had like a really bad headache just come on like all of a sudden. So they're trying to be safe. They want to take her and get it checked out. So they're not with us this morning because they're there. And when I hear that, immediately I realize that my friend Alexandra is in great need. Right? She, and that probably so too are her parents, maybe even more so than Alexandra. Right? And so we then come and we step into the gap between them and their need and the Father. And we lift to the Father in that place their need. And then very often, actually, we get the incredible privilege of also being able to minister then to the love, the answer, the care of the Father back to the one for whom we pray. This is what we call intercession. And what's so cool is the sons and daughters, the next minute you'll turn around and Alexandra will be standing in the gap for you. And so we're called to this place of intercession for one another, but friends, we are also called to intercede for our nation. We're called to intercede for our city and for our schools and for our friends who don't know Jesus. I'm so thankful for those who lead us in prayer every week and the prayers of the people as we stand very much in this ministry. We stand in the gap like Moses did for the people of Israel many times, but in an extreme way in Exodus chapter 32 when he finds out from God about the golden calf and that God's not happy and that God's going to move in that unhappiness. And Moses begins to pray. He steps into the gap and he prays for mercy on behalf of a people who have gone so sideways. But friends, there's no better example of intercession than Jesus on the cross. I mentioned it many times, but this is a reminder so beautiful to me that the songs of lament are sung from the cross. Why have you forsaken me? And that from the cross, Jesus actually prays for the very ones who hung him there. And as you hear these words of Jesus, these words of intercession, there's something I think in all of our hearts that realizes he was interceding for them, but he was interceding for all whose sin he took upon himself when he prayed, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That even there in the place of great darkness, in the place of great suffering, we see Jesus at the work of intercession. And it is an example for us. Paul has already, as we looked in the verses last week, called us and reminded us of our vocation there as people of intercession, people of a ministry of lament who step into these places, into this gap, and we lift up the prayers of the suffering. But as we step into that gap, if you will step into that place, I can promise you that you will very quickly come face to face with your weakness. That as you step into places of suffering and even step into your own, how many of you like to avoid those places? About 6 or 7 honest people, and then the rest of you are just too tired to raise your hand, right? Nobody wakes up in the morning and thinks, you know what I'd love to do today? Visit the trauma of my childhood. Do you know what I'd love to do today? Get real about the state of my marriage. Do you know what I'd love to do today? Go to a funeral. Do you know what I'd love to do today? Go down Langley and minister to the homeless. You know what? We don't look. But friends, this is the reality of life in which we live and to which we are called. And isn't that so true of Jesus, who took on flesh and dwelt among us? And when we step into that gap, following the example of Jesus, friends, so quickly we are confronted with our weakness. And one of the ways that we feel that or experiences that is we'll stand there, we'll go to do the work of intercession and realize I don't have words. In other words, I don't know how to pray here. I don't know if you've ever felt that. In my life, where I've stood in places of real suffering, personally or with others, and thought, I don't know what to say. I actually don't know the words to this song. I'm going, you know, to the hospital to sit with someone who's just lost a loved one. What do you say? The number of times I've sat with people in their own suffering and their own brokenness and who have courageously said, we trust Jesus and we believe he wants to do something in this place in my life, and so we're going to go there. We're going to meet him there. And we find ourselves there together, and all we can say is, Jesus, what do you want to say? Yeah. The number of times I've been in those places myself and just raised up the confession to the Lord that says, Lord, I don't know where to go from here. It sounds like the psalmist, my sin is ever before me. It feels like it's going to crush me. And I hear that you provide freedom and forgiveness and life, but I don't know how to get from here to there. And there's these examples of how in this place we find ourselves confronted with our weakness, but in another one of Paul's letters, he will actually celebrate his weakness. Why? Because when he is weak, God is weak. Say it again. When I am weak, he is strong. Friends, never forget that another lives in you. Never forget that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And maybe even today, some of you need to hear that in a profound, a renewed way. As you sit in your own lives, you sit in your own realities. Our vocation is to intercede. Our vocation is to sing the honest songs of lament, but suffering will often leave us speechless. So praise God that the Spirit is with us in our weakness. And what is he doing there? All creation groans. All the people of God groan. And look at what the Spirit is doing. Groaning. With groanings too deep for words. He comes and he joins us there. And he gives us the words. In the vocation of this ministry of lament, friends, we are not alone, praise God. Stepping into the gap, we find that Christ is already there interceding. I think sometimes I go and I step into that gap, or I'm on my way to do that, or I'm sitting down to do that, and I utterly forget that I'm not standing into a vacant place. I think I'm going to have to step in there and do the work of intercession. Friends, that's not the right picture. The Bible tells us that Jesus is eternally interceding for you. That if you see the suffering and you feel the burden and you want to step into those places of intercession, friends, make no mistake, you hardly feel it compared to the heart of the God who created and who has come to set free and to save. And so we step into that gap, and we can step into that gap confidently. We can step into that gap without hesitation, because when we get there, we know, we can be confident in this, Christ is already there. And that the one who leads us there and who will lead us in that ministry is in us. That when we participate in this singing, when we participate in this intercession, this prayer, we do it along with God. Stepping into the gap, we find Christ is there. That's Romans 8:34 that we'll look at next week. But two, that the Holy Spirit is there, he is with us, he is in us. And verses 26 to 27 that we've looked at today remind us that he is there, he is with us, he is in us, and he is very specifically set to do what? To help us. We find that though we are weak, and we struggle even some days to find the words, the Holy Spirit knows exactly how to pray. And the Father knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit prays in line with the mind of the Father. And so we pray with hope. We groan with the pains of childbirth, knowing that as we partner with God, all things are being worked together for the good of those who love Him. Friends, I want to invite you to participate in this right now. And so I would invite you right now to take a posture of prayer, whatever that looks like for you. If you want to bow your heads, if you want to hold your hands out in a posture of prayer, if you even want to kneel today, you're welcome to do that. And we're going to come before the Father in intercession today. We're going to come and we're going to lean into God. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and to join us in our suffering. I think it's a tragedy when the people of God choose to keep God at a distance in their suffering. And friends, if you do that, you're in good company. And if you do that, it's probably because you have an enemy that would love for you to be anywhere but the safety and the care and the ministry of your God in your place of suffering. So I want to invite you to the presence of God this morning. Are you suffering? Where is God inviting you right now, today, to sing the songs of lament? And Holy Spirit, I would ask that you would even move right now to bring us present, to aware of those things, those places, those situations, those parts of our own lives, our own hearts. Where is God inviting you right now to sing the songs of lament? Are you suffering? Sense that there's some here today who have suffered in the past and never really addressed those things, but have only overcome them in your own strength or kind of stuffed them away. Jesus would invite you today to just bring those things present in His presence. Are there ways in which He's opening your eyes to the suffering of this world? And right now, for some of you, He's putting a name on your heart. He's putting a people on your heart, a situation on your heart. I want you to pay attention to that today. Because another lives in you. Another wants to invite you into His ministry. As you come to that place, as you come to that reality, friends, don't be afraid. If anything tries to step up and to distract or to pull you away, pray. Because you are not alone here. And so with me right now, would you just take a moment and recognize that the Spirit dwells in you. That the Lord is here. Right here. Yes, in this physical place, but in this place of suffering. And that His Spirit is with us. Now, as you sit in that place, I want to invite you to lift your prayers to the Lord. I want to invite you to lift your hearts to the Lord. Some of the people or places or parts of your story that God has been highlighting, the enemy would love to then, in this moment, fix your eyes on that thing, that person. I want to invite you, as children of God, to lift your heads, to lift your eyes, and to look upon Jesus. to recognize the one who is here, whose spirit is with us. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you teach us here how to pray? And where we don't have words, where we don't know what to do, where to go, what to say, Holy Spirit, we surrender that to you. Ask that by your Spirit right now, you would birth in us the groanings. That you would birth in us the songs of lament. God, desperately we need to be able to sing these songs. And so does our world need us to learn these songs. The honesty of this place. Forgive us, Lord, where we have avoided this space. Forgive us, Lord, where we've given in to despair, where we've given in to fear, where we've not had the courage with which to trust you or to lean into you, where we've allowed our sufferings to overcome us, Lord. We confess and we ask that you would forgive us and set us free to the ministry of lament. Thank you that you're near to us in our weakness. So even now as we pray these prayers, we humbly confess our weakness and wholeheartedly receive your help. Come, Holy Spirit, come. So friends, together with you right now, and together we lift our prayers to the Lord. We lift our eyes and our hearts and our groanings and our lamentations to the Lord right now. Both fully aware of suffering, but fully pregnant with glory, postured in hope. And I bless you to receive. I bless you to release the groanings, to release the songs, to release the prayers. To know the work and leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit in this place. As we prepare to come to the table, I'm going to give you a moment right now for private confession. And certainly invite you to just lay anything that you need to before the Lord in confession. But particularly this morning, I think he's inviting us into a place today that might be hard to step into if not first we confess our hesitancy or our unwillingness to step into that place before. And so to be able to just confess that to the Lord, if there's places of suffering that you've been avoiding, where you've not put your trust in God, where you've allowed maybe self-pity or despair or these kinds of things to take over. Confess those things to the Lord so that you can receive the freedom that he wants to bring in answer. We'll make our private confession to the Lord, and then in a moment I'll lead us in a prayer of public confession.